CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to The Good Stuff. If it's your first time ever listening, this is Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brent Lindekew, the good things guy. Mayday is an emergency procedure word used as a distress signal, but it's also a public holiday in South Africa, which happened yesterday. That's my joke of the day. I hope you had an amazing one. I hope you had a good long weekend. I feel like there was too much weekend in the long. This month has been like 17 weekends with 140 public holidays, and it just feels like it was never ending. So it's good to be back in studio. It's good to be back here, bringing you guys the good stuff. I hope you had an amazing holiday. I know the president didn't. He got booed off stage. But we're not going to talk about that at all. Instead, I'm here to remind you that there's still so many good things happening in the world and in South Africa. So inspired, so proudly South African, so much of good news. The show is still proudly brought to you by Play Your Part, an initiative by Brand South Africa. So Kerry and I today get to chat to Dominique Little and Rosette Buerta, incredible South Africans doing really good things. Plus, we'll bring you the top five good news stories and try unpack the good stuff around the current state of the nation. Listen up and get inspired. If you guys want to get involved with the conversation, it's pretty damn easy. You can tweet us at CliffCentral.com, or myself, Brent Lindekew, or Kerry Stain. She's not saying anything because I haven't turned her microphone on. Not because I don't want to, but because I actually don't know how. And this new desk is so confusing. Just joking. I'm joking. The producers are all freaking out now. They're in the windows going, what? How do you not know the desk? Actually, we don't want Kerry to talk today, so I'm not going to put her microphone on. You can also send us a message via our official WeChat account or give us a call on 0861-555-189. Or they can WhatsApp message us, hey, Kay?
Yes, they can.
What's the number?
079-748-2090.
I'm trying to trick Kerry. So when I come into studio, I remove the numbers off the walls, but there always seems to be one left over that she finds. That she knows. That she knows. Kerry, how's it been, man?
Good.
I haven't seen you in a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder why.
What's been happening?
Goodness gracious, you're quite right about that long weekend. It felt like forever.
It's been a lot of holiday.
Over the last month even, just the last weekend.
I'm not going to complain because I've always said that it would be better to have longer weekends and shorter weeks.
Yes.
But I think there's a balance that we need to find.
Definitely.
So like at the moment we have 2-day weekends and 5-day weeks. Mm-hmm. I think we need 3-4.
I agree.
Like a 3-day weekend, yes, and a 4-day work week.
Exactly.
That would work for me.
Yeah.
That would work for me. What's been happening, man? I started vlogging.
I think they're amazing. I'm loving them.
So we've been speaking about this for a while. I've been saying since I got back from India that I'm going to do it.
Yes.
I've put out 2 vlogs already in the YouTube sphere, on the YouTube.
I know.
On the YouTube.
On the tube of the YouTube.
And it's, you know what, it's quite crazy because it makes you feel quite vulnerable.
Yeah, I take my hat off to you.
No, man. I run around everywhere with a stupid GoPro. It's not stupid. It actually is my new toy. I run around with this GoPro attached to my hand.
It's like a little robot. It kind of does its own thing.
Does its own thing. And I record as much as possible. I'm actually recording us at the moment because we're doing a whole backstage session at Cliff Central, which is going to be out this week, Friday. And, man, then I have to edit everything. So I've got to piece it all together, which is quite difficult because it's something that I was never taught.
No.
It's like a self-taught thing.
You've just kind of picked it up and run with it.
And then you've got to upload it.
Yes.
And it is just, it makes me feel very vulnerable to go, cool, now I've put myself on camera and now I'm putting myself out there. But the reception's been really positive.
It's been huge. And a lot of people were asking if you have a team behind you that's editing your videos. And I'm like, even the first one that you put up, it went about during the marches and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, what? How did you do that? Did you have a whole team on standby waiting for you? Like,
no, it's just me and I'm just doing my vlogging thing.
It's amazing.
And I'm excited. This week we're going to give you a little bit of a backstage look at what we do at Cliff Central and how we play around in studio. And that's exciting, man.
But like I said to you as well, you've now set a standard and it's really high. You got to keep up with that.
No. I know it will. Like the backstage one of Cliff Central is going to be cool because it's going to show you things that you might not see normally. And then the next one, which comes out next week, Friday, is going to be me
you
live in Turkey.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Not like a cluck-cluck turkey, like turkey.
No, like turkey, turkey for real turkey, country turkey.
Country turkey. I'm leaving tomorrow, actually. Leaving tomorrow, and I'm going to...
Jet setter!
Where am I going? I'm going to, I can't say... I've got a problem.
Why?
I can't pronounce things.
Oh, dear.
So, I think it's Cappadocia.
Wow.
Cappadocia.
Okay.
Cappuccino.
I'm just going to...
Cappadocia. I'm going to Cappadocchino.
Okay. I'll just go with I'm nodding my head.
It's the land of 1,000 air balloons. Every morning at 5 a.m., 1,000 air balloons, hot air balloons, take off. So I'm going to be doing a hot air balloon ride in Cappadocchino.
That is so exciting.
Also, I've got vertigo, so that's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I'm super scared of heights. It's going to be very interesting, to say the least. And then I'm going to Istanbul.
Facing your fears.
Kind of. Then I'm going to Istanbul, two places that I've never been to, and I'm super, super amped to go and see it and report back on it and bring you a vlog live from Turkey.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I think I'm going to go find some Turkish delights as well.
Turkish delights. We're living our lives through Bent.
Isn't that where they come from?
Yes, like
Turkish delights would come from Turkey.
I would imagine so.
Well, I'll find the answer to that.
Okay.
I will find the answer to that.
We're going in search of where Turkish delight comes from.
We can only try. And then yesterday, what did we do, Kev?
Happy birthday to you. Well,
not
us.
Me.
No.
To
Cliff
us.
Central. It's Cliff Central's third birthday.
It is Cliff Central's third birthday. We are 3 years old. We were saying yesterday we're out of the terrible twos now.
Yep, we're into
out of
the
terrible twos, into the threes, and we are, I mean, we've only just begun. No, well, this has only just begun.
Beep, 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 beep. We have only just begun, and onwards and upwards and strength to strength.
That's what they say, and that's what we're planning. We had a huge birthday bash here at the studio.
Everybody, and there's still cake.
There's still cake. We were eating the cake this morning.
For breakfast.
Because we're not fatties. We don't care. And, man, we had a really cool birthday. It was super, super cool to have everybody around. There was birthday cake. We sang, and of course, because we're adults, we also had champagne.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
Sia was the controller of the champagne.
Sia was feeding everybody champagne. He thought it was like shooters. man, it's so cool to be a part of something so amazing. I joined Cliff Central 3 weeks after the station had started.
Yes.
And, looking back, it's been such an incredible ride.
You're a founding member.
That's what they called us. Like Gareth, yes. Gareth was gave a big speech yesterday, and he was talking about founding members and
yes.
all sorts of things. And it's been an interesting ride, and I've learned so much along the way. I'd never been in radio before. I'd never had the opportunity to sit behind a microphone, and Cliff Central gave me that opportunity.
Mm.
And Rena believes, she still believes in us,
yes.
and she's still here. Making us be better every day. I mean, Kerry, if we have to take it back,
yes.
and we get a little bit sentimental and emotional just for a second, but Kerry came here to Cliff Central as part of an interview. I interviewed you.
Yes, twice.
Because you were doing a whole bunch of charity stuff. You still do.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed. But, I mean, predominantly that's why you were here.
Yes.
And... you and I clicked.
Yep.
There was something between us.
Aww.
And we clicked.
Not like that.
Well, it can't be like that. Something clicked, and you and I just got along really, really well.
Yes.
And I put out the call. I was like, you know what?
And I still can't, like, I still can't believe that either.
Like, I was, because like I, for the first year, or how long have you been here for?
Almost, this will be my second year.
Okay, so for the first year, I was doing like, every week was a different co-host.
Yeah.
So we had Brandon Orette, we had Jason Greer, we had Mark Pilgrim, we had all these legends.
A few.
Everybody. So every week it was different and we had a different co-host.
Yeah.
And then I was like, actually, I feel like a gypsy. I need someone to be by my side and
some
just
stability.
Some stability. And I put the word out on social media, and you were one of the first people to respond.
Yeah, after a few hours, I was like, "Why is nobody? It's meant to be.
It's meant to be." And Kerry came in. I interviewed her. I put her through the tests. I made her do mic tests, 1, 2, 1, 2. Made her sing. put her in the sound booth, made her click her tongue.
Yeah.
We did all these things to sort of make sure that she was fit for the job.
Had to do handstands as well.
She had to do handstands.
Headstand.
And then we put her on air, and I was so flipping embarrassed. I was like, what have I done? I'm joking.
Me too. And then Rena also, she was like, Kerry, like, Brent, what are you doing?
No, man.
No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't all, like that at all.
We all love Kerry, and it's been such an incredible ride, and I don't want to harp on about it anymore, but thank you, Cliff Central, for giving us this opportunity to bring you the good news. We are going to dive into a story that is in our top five. Every week we bring you the top five good news stories. But okay, you know what we'll do?
Yes.
For the top five, we'll give the update.
Okay.
Because you chooses the top five good news stories every week, and this story was one that was trending over the weekend. And it's quite it's honest and it's real, and it's something that is quite upsetting, actually.
It is.
So this company down in Cape Town, it's a Cape Townian business, they put out a call online to get a cleaner to come and clean their salon or whatever business they owned. And they put it up online because that's where everybody lives. And they put it out there, and they were inundated with people applying for the job to be a cleaner of their salon. And one of the CVs stood out above all the rest. And the reason for that was the applicant had studied law at WITS. Not only had she studied law, but she'd completed her studies cum laude and was awarded the Dean's Merit Prize for one of her subjects. I need you to just look at that. She's got a degree, she could be a lawyer, and she was applying for a job as a cleaner. And this got the company owner, Jean Pinard, thinking, like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
So she phoned WITS because she thought maybe she's lying or something. And WITS verified that those were her marks, that she had completed her studies last year, but she wasn't lawfully a lawyer yet because she owed 53,000 Rand in student fees.
Yeah.
So she couldn't actually practice or even go do her articles or anything. So they came up with this plan as a company. They were like, we can't let this girl give up on her dreams. We need to help her. We need to help her get to where she needs to be. So they put all these hidden cameras up all over their offices. And they called, her name's Nisia. They called her in for the interview.
Yes.
You can't see me, but I'm air quoting an interview. They called her in and they sat her down. And they started speaking to her about, like, what she wants to do and where she wants to go. And she opened up about the fact that she wanted to be a lawyer, but she couldn't afford the student fees. So she's going to do whatever it takes to work as hard as she can to raise 53,000 Rand so that she can pay off her student fees.
Mm.
During that talk, she opened up and she spoke about the fact that during university, she was sleeping in the library because she couldn't afford accommodation. Yeah. Studying law, hey?
Yeah.
And passed cum laude.
Mm.
She was sleeping in the library. She was cleaning herself up with wet wipes
in
the toilets inside the university to make herself respectable for class.
Yeah.
I actually got a lump in my throat.
I know, me as well. I'm trying not to cry.
And she really opened up. And then at some point during the interview, Jean said to her, well, I've got really bad news. We can't hire you. The position is not yours. And you could actually, she was devastated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what else can life throw at this girl?
And especially a job like that with her qualifications.
And that's when Jean said, what we're going to do is actually, we're going to call on all our corporates and our social media followers and anybody that can actually listen or wants to listen. And, and we're going to ask them for donations and we're going to match whatever they have put in to pay off your student fees.
That is huge.
And then there was a lot of tears and she was very thankful and she just kept on saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Within 24 hours, they'd already raised 15,000 Rand, which, like their little video had been seen a couple of times. I picked up on the story. We posted the story on Good Things Guy, and we're going to bring you an update later on in the show.
Yay!
Because it's really effing good news. I'm not allowed to swear anymore.
Oh, you know, but you didn't really.
No, that's why I said effing now.
Okay.
My mom said I'm not allowed to swear anymore. It's disgusting. And so I'm not swearing anymore.
Thanks, that
was
Mom.
That was completely off the mark, but just because I said effing.
Thanks, Mom.
So it's a really effing good story, and we're going to bring you the update later on in the show of all sorts of good things happening.
I was like, did the rules change?
What are you talking about?
Our rules. Cliff Central rules. I'm like, did I not get the update?
No, man.
Memo.
No, man. You can say whatever you want.
No, I
as
don't
really
you, swear.
As long as you're not afraid of my mother.
No, I don't swear. It's fine.
Who is listening? She's gonna text me now going, don't say that either. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central, and I'm still trying to work out the desk. So if there's things that are happening and you hear funny sounds and you
it's
don't...
My fault.
Well, it's Kerry's fault. We can
yes,
blame her
fault.
Because
always
that's why
fault.
She's here.
Yes.
She's our scapegoat. In studio, we've got someone who, you know, I'll start this off by going, the universe always puts people in the right place at the right time to connect, always. I believe in the universe through and through. I say if you do what is good and what is right, it always comes back to you. And the universe is always giving me good stuff. Always giving me good stuff. I got an email last week from Gareth Cliff, who's also my boss. So I can't talk nasty about him. But I got an email from him saying, listen, just had dinner with Dominique, and she's amazing, and what she's doing is incredible, and I think she should be on your show. So I popped her an email. I was like, hi, I heard you're doing some cool stuff. I'm not sure what it is or what you do, but I've heard it's quite cool, and I'd love to find out a little bit more about it. And that was like last week. So we've got Dominique Little in studio. She's created something called This Is Fiction, a web series that explores life through the eyes of millennial subcultures and stereotypes in Johannesburg. It sounds very interesting.
It is definitely unconventional, very raw, very real, and not something... I want to say I've never seen something like this, because I haven't, but I guess the viewer will have to decide on that.
Because, I mean, that was a very long description. What is it? What are you doing?
So, I basically... got hutful about 3 years ago with the content that was coming out of South Africa. Everything was either super depressive, or if it was something more arty, it was more just about creators or musicians. Mm. And I was like, no, we have no content. We have nothing that we can watch. Everything we're watching is from America or the UK. And that is bullshit, because look at the fantastic people in our country. And I actually met this guy who's a gangster who ended up becoming a really good friend of mine, and I was like, wow, I'm learning so much about you. And through being a photographer, I was meeting so many people of difference who were breaking the stereotypes I had about them. And I just thought, like, no, man, we South Africa, as young people, we need to know who our neighbors are, and we need to know who we are in that, and let's create a really entertaining, well shot show about it that is raw and authentic and isn't scripted but isn't pure documentary.
And that's the essence of it, is that there's so many stories that South Africans have to tell, and there isn't people really telling them.
And if they are, it's very cliche. Like, I'm not hating on any of the creators out there, because people are on their own hustle and they're doing a phenomenal job. It's just, I think that we get caught in fitting into a box of how everyone's doing it, and people follow a formula, and as a result, it strips the story of the story and just gives you generic gray stuff. Yeah.
Background noise.
Yeah, exactly.
Background. If you could pull out one of the stories that have inspired you, or something that has sort of, when you look back and you go, I actually can't believe that we captured all of that and put it into a story. What sort of thing has inspired you where you've met someone?
I think what was really interesting was that this show was supposed to be a 4-minute pitch, and it turned into a 24-part web series, because the content was so phenomenal that in every person that we were... every person that we filmed, I built relationship with to really... I didn't want to just go in and, you know, classic, oh, white girl, let's go into the hood and, like, tell a story that isn't ours. I just really didn't want to do that. So I built really beautiful relationships with people to find out their stories. And the most phenomenal thing that has come out of the show is how similar we all are, how different we are, but how we all go through the same things. We all have different opinions, but still very similar experiences about the same things. And it's really, even when I watch the show, and like I'm so used to the content, it's just phenomenal to see how there is such unity and difference.
I think that's an important message, especially where South Africa is right now. There's a whole bunch of things going on politically and with the economy. And I mean, I would say 2016, I was going to say 2016 was almost like the year of racism in South Africa, where it was so, it was everywhere. And whether it was propaganda or Bell Pottinger or whatever was going on, it was prevalent and it was in our faces. And you're talking about being unified and how we are so similar even in our differences. And I think that's an important message for people to remember. When 2017 started, I almost felt like South Africa was at a new wave where we were all just seeing things in different eyes.
We were unified.
But that's I mean, that's a beautiful thing that you just said.
But I don't know, because I don't, we're not, I think to say that we're unified is definitely, we're definitely not, and we're not where we need to be. And I think there's a huge misconception that people think, oh, okay, accepting of difference means let's all be best mates now.
No.
And there are there's so many different cultures in this country that are so different that it's impossible for us to all be best friends. But
we're more now than we were before.
No
one. If you look at everything that's happened through the, I mean, course of the year already. More than we were.
I don't know. I think that there are such...
We've still got a long way to go.
There are such divides in race and in culture. And if you can do something to bring people into more of an understanding of the differences and appreciation of the differences, instead of just seeing them, calling them out and shying away from it, if you can break down the fear and just live in that really messy, uncomfortable space that we have in this country, which is so beautiful at the same time, then you've got something really special.
You can hear by the craft of your words that you're a proper storyteller.
Exactly.
Like, I can hear it just in the way that you're explaining
beautiful.
It. And it is beautiful.
No, it's beautiful.
As you were speaking now, it reminds me, so, I mean, I'm harping on about just coming back from India. You hear people, and that's cliche, when they go overseas and it really changed their lives because it's eat, pray, love and all that shit. Sorry, Mom. the reality is, I went to Bangladesh 2 years ago and I was there for 6 weeks and I hated it to my core. It was something inside of me that I couldn't focus on, and I couldn't come back and tell you what was wrong because everything was wrong. And when people ask me, how was your Bangladesh trip? My answer was, it was the worst 6 weeks of my life. I'll never get it back. Like, that's the way I felt. When I got the opportunity to go over to India, I, for whatever reason, maybe it's geographical, but I had this misconception that it was the same as Bangladesh. And in many ways it was. And I'm bringing this back to subcultures and how we all see differences in that messy, uncomfortable space. What I did is, on the flight over to India, I made a conscious decision to be present, to be in the moment, to immerse myself in another culture that I had no understanding of whatsoever, and to take every little piece of who I was when I went to Bangladesh and throw it away. And I literally, such a horrible word because we misuse it. But I changed. And I learned so much about a new culture. And I had this moment where I was there for 3 weeks, but it was a moment where I realized that there's so much more than just me and my privileged white little South African self. And I met people who were so incredibly aware of the rest of the world and have degrees and have traveled, and yet they come home and they eat with their hand and drink tea out of palm leaves. Like, it's so crazy to see different cultures. And I think one of the biggest divides in South Africa is that we choose to ignore each other's cultures, and we're not learning about each other, we're not understanding each other. And what your series is doing is educating with stories. And that is important for us to be aware of each other, because that's the only way that we can become unified.
Yeah, it was really interesting. When we launched the show, we did it as a global hangout. So we got people in about 30 cities across the world to host hangouts around the first 4 episodes. And the conversation that was started around that and the feedback that came back, and a lot of people were quite shocked at, especially kind of older generation of, this is what the youth is, you know. And I'm not going to lie, shooting and editing the show, I've gone through parts of being like, I'm shocked at the culture, the nonverbal commentary, the things that we, you know, the technology, the drugs, the drinking, that's so a part of every day.
Acceptable.
Yeah, exactly. But what was really, I got into very robust conversations around people going, I can't believe this is the youth and this is what... And I was sitting there going, I can't believe that you don't know that this is the country we live in.
Exactly.
That you don't know these are the people next to you in the bank queue and that your kids are socializing with at school and that are your children. Like, I find...
And that you don't care, really.
It's like the people we're most offended by are the people we're most like.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's really fascinating to see exactly what you've been talking about how our perception of self... is so warped, and our environment and what's around us.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The end of that whole Bangladesh India story is I cannot wait to go back to Bangladesh. I've got new eyes, and I've got a new perspective of self.
And you have changed.
Come on now.
No, you really have.
You come on now.
No.
But it is. So I'm excited. It's learning about other cultures, and the story is actually not about me. How do we watch your web series? It's on the web because it's called the web series. But how do we get hold of it?
So it's on our website, which is playthisisfiction.com, and our Facebook page is This Is Fiction. And episodes drop on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And if you just follow that, you. We'll see an episode.
Amazing. We're going to put that incredible. Up online. What I'm going to do, if one of my writers are listening, and I hope they are, we need to write an article about this and put it on Good Things Guide, because I think what you're doing is absolutely phenomenal. Mm. And we want to push you out there as much as we can.
Awesome.
More awareness, more unified.
Thank you
more,
so much. Yeah.
Very cool to have you on the show. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. And I am still figuring out this desk, so don't judge if I don't know what's going on. Man, oh man, I love what I do, and I love my team. Is Dominique still here? Yeah, she's there. I just got a message from Tyler, who's one of my writers in the office, and she said, "On it, This Is Fiction story coming up." So it'll be online in a little bit, because that's how we roll. We make stuff happen, don't we, Kelly?
Yes.
You don't sound as excited as I am.
Can you hear me even?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Are your headphones not working?
Yeah, no, I was just fiddling there.
Fiddle. Yeah, yeah. All right, so every week we get to meet inspirational people. We just have Dominique Little, is incredible.
Wow.
We have someone else who's in studio, Rosette Buerta. She went hiking in the Tankwa National Park, I think it's called.
Not in the park, just next to the park, but the hike's called Tankwa Camino.
Okay.
It's an endurance trail.
An endurance trail.
Yes.
And Rosette, you're here because you're actually... Kiri, do you remember... I think it's called Queen Butterfly.
Yes.
That she was in studio with us, and she was like divine.
Yes.
We're gonna link that podcast to this show as well, so that you can pick up on that, because it's an amazing organization. And Rosette, you went and did this hike for her.
Yes, I decided when I decided to do this hike, which was a personal thing for me. I do hiking and I love the nature. I decided that I wanted to do something special, and I got together with Queen Butterfly Foundation and did a little bit of investigation online. Saw them, thought they were amazing, went and visited them, had a chat to her, to Palisa, who's the founder and principal there.
And she sucked you in.
Oh, yes.
She is.
Immediately.
Palesa is like a diva of note.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
I met her, and we did that show with her. And both Kerry and I afterwards were just left with our mouths hanging open. We fell in love.
Yeah.
We fell in love.
She's an amazing person. Her staff is amazing. They do amazing children. The center caters for children with severe disabilities.
Yes.
And they are in need of funds to secure permanent premises for them, for the center to grow, but they do amazing work, and I fell in love with them in the center, and I've got a passion for disabled children. I had one myself, and I decided to dedicate the hike to raise funds for the center.
And how long is the hike? Because I know nothing about it, so you need to speak to me as if I'm a child.
The hike is 256.6 kilometers, which you hike in 10 days. You sleep next to the road in tents, camping right next to the road on the reserve, basically. You've got a support team that goes with you. It's quite a endurance trail.
You said you had a support team. Did you have anybody else hiking with you?
Yes. It's an organized hike. So the group was about 60 people. you register prior. You've got to register about a year before you can actually do the hike. It's very, very popular. The support team is the organizers. They does the organizing and they supply water and dinner and that kind of thing. And they arrange with the farmers for the hikers to camp on their premises and things like that. It's very much a soul-searching event and not an easy task. It's really, really difficult to complete the full 10 days. You can imagine we started in Kalfinia in the Northern Cape. And you end up in Sirius in the Western Cape. And it's from that you've got 206 kilometers, which is dirt road through the Tankwa Karoo. For a lot of kilometers, you walk along the border of the Tankwa National Park. It's amazing experience though.
I can only imagine. I've done a bit of hiking, not much. I got roped into climbing Kilimanjaro for charity, and I'd never hiked before that. But hiking it's that experience that sort of sucks you in, and you get to spend a lot of time with yourself.
Yes.
And you get a lot of time in your thoughts.
And with the Tankwa Karoo, you've got all that open spaces. Mm. And you've got kilometers of what people would say nothing. But for me, it was actually a lot. I love the open spaces and rocks. And I love the Karoo. So it was really, for me, a very spiritual experience as well. Physically very difficult. I ended up in hospital 10 days
thing. So you were supposed to be on our show before, you went on the hike and it was us and then we were busy and it was all just crazy. And then you landed up in hospital right before you had to go.
Yes, I had my gallbladder removed 10 days prior to the hike. So I started the hike with stitches. So the first 4 days was extremely difficult. I was in a lot of pain and I had to dig very deep for strength to just continue some days and
That's
just put the one foot.
So
one foot in front of the others. But thinking about the Queen Butterfly Foundation and what they mean and what Palesa means to the children there, I just could not stop. I had to complete it. And I'm very proud to say that I've actually hiked every single inch of that route. I didn't get onto the support vehicles at all.
That is a great thing to take with you. Obviously, it was all about raising funds, so we're still raising funds, correct? We're still raising funds. How do people, if they want to follow the journey or throw money at you, how do they get involved?
Well, I've got a Facebook page, Hiking the Tankwa Camino for Children with Disabilities. A lot of photos on there of the hike, my story on what I've experienced on the hike. Then there's the Queen Butterfly Foundation. They've got a Facebook page. And they can contact police on 072-871-2559 if they want to donate. We're still looking for donations.
Well, then what we'll do as well, I know Tyler's listening now, so we're going to give her lots of work for today. I think let's also put something up on Good Things Guy. I think it's important. Mm. And if we can raise money for an organization like Palesa's Queen Butterfly that is looking after severely disabled kids, it's important.
That would be amazing. It is important that these kids have got nowhere else to go. And if you see the way they work with them. Mm-hmm. I had a beautiful email from one of the parents that told me how much it meant to her child to go to this center, the joy that her child actually experienced every day at school. And if she doesn't go to school, the joy just disappears.
I know, they're stimulated.
Yes,
they're
stimulated.
They are surrounded by, you know, people that love them.
Yes.
And peers.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible.
It's amazing. They do an amazing job. Yeah.
And it just flourish.
Is important. So we're going to put that all up online for you so that you can find out where to get involved. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for what you do.
I want to hear about more of your hikes.
Already planning the next one, but yes, thank you for having us, and thank you for supporting the Queen Butterfly Foundation.
We love the Queen Butterfly. This is the Good Stuff on Cliff Central, and every week we run out of time.
Yes, we do.
But not this week. Not this week. Kerry looks for the top 5 good trending news stories. Is that right? Good trending news stories?
Trending good news stories.
Trending good news stories. This is the only show in South Africa. The only show, maybe in Africa, that has a top good news trending chart.
Yes.
Which is rad, right?
I think it's super awesome.
I think it's super awesome. Right, Kerry, if you can start us off with number 5.
A police officer in Cape Town spends his mornings doing the most phenomenal acts of kindness. A police officer in Cape Town spends his mornings before work cooking breakfast for the homeless in his surrounding areas using his own salary. I'm just going to go through the stories and you can actually just can they go and read, or do you want me to go into it?
Well, I mean, we can talk a little bit about it. It's really
He has, I mean, you've done a story on him before. This particular officer.
So my thing with this officer is, why the story is important,
yeah,
is because police in South Africa get such a bad rep.
They do.
And if you, our mainstream media, or even on our social media, if you see a policeman, I mean, it's wrong. If a policeman is doing terrible things, yes, call them out first. But the problem is that those stories will far outweigh something that's good. Something that's good in this world.
Exactly.
And here is a man that uses his own salary to feed other human beings for no other reason than it's just the right thing to do. That is beautiful. That in itself is beautiful. And that's why the story made it to number five, because people are sharing it and they are speaking about it, and it is beautiful.
It's
so
incredible.
If you want to see the photos, if you want to, we will put that up online. We always do. But if you want to see it, then go visit clipcentral.com.
Yes.
What do we have at number four?
Perspective is everything. Facts about success that every single person needs to read.
Did you like this one?
Yes, I did. And the reason I put it up is because, I mean, it is inspirational. And if at this moment in time and in your life you're feeling a little bit down in the dumps, this is really going to pick you up.
Tell us about it, because I don't want
you. It's a collection of facts about incredibly successful people. Has been trending on social media, and we believe everyone needs to read this inspiring information. It's basically people that have...
But tell us the information. You're giving me like half a story there.
Don't give the whole story, though. Just give
three lines.
Okay, I'm going to. So I'm going to give you the first three. Okay, it's inspirational.
Okay.
At age 23, Tina Fey was working at YMCA. At age 23, Oprah was fired from her first reporting job. At age 24, Stephen King was working as a janitor and living in a trailer.
Why that's all important is because they're super successful people who, I mean, I was this morning, every morning when I prep for the show, I sit in the lounge because I'm a TV addict. I love knowing what's going
on.
And I had a cup of coffee.
Yes.
I was busy prepping for the show. And the next minute, I don't know, I flicked over and Ellen DeGeneres was on, because she's on 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you put on TV, Ellen's on.
We love Ellen.
But it was her show where she was celebrating the 20th year, the second decade of her Ellen show of coming out.
Wow.
Remember this?
Yes.
Not the talk show.
No, her.
And Oprah was on her couch.
That's incredible.
So Ellen was interviewing Oprah. I was like, this is an alternate universe. It's because Oprah used to be like the queen bee.
Yes.
Of the, now Oprah, so at what age, what was she doing? 23?
Who, Oprah?
Yeah, give me.
At 23, Oprah was fired from her first reporting job.
Fired from her first reporting job.
At 23.
I'm guessing she's about, what age?
She's in her 50s.
She's in her 50s. She owns her own television production house. In the States, she's got her own channel called OWN.
Yeah.
And she's pumping out movies.
And everything else.
Like left to none. So just, it's an inspirational article.
And it's basically, whatever your dream is, it's never too late to achieve it.
Man, oh man. We're going to put that up online. What do we have at number three?
23-year-old has become one of the youngest on the continent to achieve a PhD.
How is that possible?
She's an incredibly talented 23-year-old Northwest University student, and she's become one of the youngest on the continent to achieve a PhD. So she comes from...
year did she leave school to get a PhD at 23?
Well, she was born in Zimbabwe and raised in Botswana before she moved to South Africa. And at the age of 16, that's when she matriculated.
She started university at the age of 16.
Yeah, so that's given her... I mean, she's had a three-year head start.
If you're listening right now, think about what you were doing at 16. Because as sure as hell, it wasn't studying and it wasn't going to university. You were most probably opening your parents' liquor cabinets and having your first sip of alcohol, or going clubbing, or like not concentrating on university at 16.
And she,
I know some 20-year-olds that haven't even put their foot in university.
Exactly.
I know some 30-year-olds that haven't.
You're completing a BCom by 20. Really?
That is incredible. She's a genius.
Yes, she
that
is.
So, what is her name?
Good job.
That's a very funny name. She's going back to the article because we've lost the article. But I want you to remember this name when we eventually find it, because you're going to hear more about this lady in the future.
Yeah.
We'll find it. We'll put it. Kerry's lost it completely.
Yeah, I have.
That's
actually.
Okay. We'll get back into that. What do we have at number two?
Okay, so we've got an update on the story. Okay. The one that you were talking about earlier. Social media
Nisia.
Social media came together to help law student pay off her student loan and then some.
And then some.
Do you want to know about the then some?
We do want to know about the then some. So I started the show with a story about a law student who'd applied for a job as a cleaner because she couldn't pay off her flipping student loan.
Mm-hmm.
In the matter of 2 days, what happened?
So the 53,000 rand goal was reached and surpassed. So the money will be used to pay off her current student loan, and all the rest will be going to Nisia to kick off her corporate life.
She's literally, they're going to go, because I'm in it here.
Yes.
They're matching whatever they raised.
Exactly.
So if they raise 53,000 rand, that means she's going to have 106,000 rand. So that's another 53,000 rand to start whatever with. Coming from a base of zero.
Zero. Going into...
Actually coming from a base of minus 53.
Nothing, yeah.
So she's got her student loan paid off, which means she's got her degree.
Yes.
She's got 53,000 rand to start her life with.
Yes.
And...
through the article, she's also been offered a position at one of the top law firms in the country, as well as somewhere to call home.
So she's got a house as well.
Yes.
This, in the matter of 2 days, when I said literally her life has changed, her life has changed.
And it's still growing. There's still people that want to support her in some or other way. So it hasn't stopped.
Okay, but there's an important line that I put at the end of that article. And I said this. South Africans want to do good. We want to see each other succeed. And whenever called upon, we always come together to help each other. Yes. It's a matter of fact with South Africans. I want to thank everybody for getting involved and for sharing the story and for helping out, even if it was just with 10 rand.
Mm.
But I want to implore you to continue the cycle of Ubuntu wherever you are throughout your day. Wherever you are, help another human being out. If we all had that way of thinking, South Africa would be a very different world.
It definitely would.
And the music is like silent moment. What do we have at number one? Was that number two?
No, we're going on number one now.
Okay, can we have number one, please?
South Africa on its knees. Photos of the South Africans gathered in Bloemfontein for massive prayer meeting. So faith like potatoes is...
Okay, I know why you put this in here as one of the top stories.
Tell me.
First of all, it was a top story.
Yes,
so it got like 400,000 views or whatever it
and
was.
And it's growing every day.
Yeah, because a lot of people wanted to see the photos.
Yes.
But more so, I'm a gay guy.
Yes.
And I wrote that story.
Mm-hmm.
And the LGBTI community lambasted me.
Yep.
Like, I was getting messages going, why do you support this oak? Like, whatever his...
hate mail.
Here's the point. He brought over 1.7 million people together to pray for the betterment of our country.
That's it.
I do not care what he has said in the past. I do not agree with what he believes, because obviously my beliefs are different.
Mm.
But I believe in the greater good of doing good. And from what I understand... apparently, at that prayer meeting, there were only good things that were prayed about. Only good things. And I believe that is a source of goodness. And I've used the word good like 47 times in that one sentence.
Yes, and that's the thing. I mean, he brought all of those people together. And if you have a look at, you have a look at the farms, you have a look at the people coming in, and all the people that were just flocking to come and pray for our nation. Yes, we had all of our marches and you know, everybody did, you know, they came together in their own way. But this on its own, that Angus Buchan came together, and he was summoned on WhatsApp, on a WhatsApp group, that some religious leader had to, you know, come to the table.
Well, it wasn't also just about what he did in Bloemfontein. The rest of the country, whatever religion, whether it was Christianity,
exactly,
or Judaism, everybody got together, and for one day they all thought for the betterment of
the
country.
Exactly,
and I think that's a cool story. I think that's, there's been a lot of controversy around it. It's a controversial subject. You
it
know
was
that.
Incredible.
Kerry likes being controversial,
yes,
throwing these things in.
It was
there.
Incredible. You just have to go and have a look at the pictures and see all the people driving through there in the dark and the farms and everybody that came together. It was amazing.
Okay, well, that's the good stuff for this week. I'm going to put all of those stories up online so that you can also hear about them and get involved and do all those great things. Can't believe the hour's over. That went quick.
Very.
Every week it's quick, but we've had inspirational guests on our show. We've got to speak about really incredible stories. All of our guests' information will be up online about an hour from now. And if you're listening on podcast and not live, then it's on live already. If you're on a podcast, all the information's there, because it's like magic. That's how it works. You've tuned into the good stuff on Cliff Central, and we've spent the show chatting about a bunch of good things. The Good Stuff is proudly brought to you by Brand South Africa, Play Your Part Initiative. Brand South Africa, inspiring new ways. I should do voiceover stuff.
Don't you already?
Yeah, I do. If you want to play your part and get involved or know someone who does, visit www.brandsouthafrica.com. If you're playing your part in your community or know someone who is, let us know and they will get in touch. South Africa, inspiring new ways. I'm going to leave you with this. Every week I leave you with a bit of a quote that hopefully will get you through the day or the week. I'm off to Turkey tomorrow. So yay. I've got a 1 day week this week. Today.
Are you excited?
Very. That's not my quote that I'm leaving you with, no. By the way. We need to stay motivated. We need to inspire others. We're in this together, and the only way we'll get through this is together. Life is short. Eat cake, run, drink wine, and laugh. Turn up the music. Tell the people you love what they mean to you. Live life to the fullest. My friend Hayley Fenton from Red Bull, she put that up on her status the other day, and I was like, that is
beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I've carried that around with me for a week. Live life to the fullest, because that's what matters. That's the good stuff for this week. Don't forget to tune in next week when you can get more of the good stuff. If you want any of the old shows, if you want to catch up on this show, you can rewind because it's a podcast.
Yeah.
Or you can find everything, all the information from our guests, all the top stories of the week. Absolutely everything that we've done on the show today will be on cliffcentral.com. It's that easy. That's where you can find us. Look for the good stuff in the motivational section.
Yes.
Last words, Kay.
Thank you. And have an amazing time in Turkey. And luck, a good luck, week. Luck, luck, luck. I can't wait to see your videos.
Have a terrific Tuesday. CliffCentral.com